Hey, if you have your Bibles, we're finishing up our confidence in prayer, steady, that's the word. And we're eventually going to get to John chapter 16. We basically have a couple areas of scripture. We're going to get there, but let's tie this together. We've been on for five studies, confidence in prayer. And let me just say this to you. I'm learning how to pray. I've been a Christian for over 30 years. I'm learning how to pray. And it's good to know the Lord's Prayer, good to know, you know, this kind of stuff, but it's not that. It's prayer is identity. When I understand that my pops welcomes me to come talk with him, I get confidence in prayer. I can talk to him about anything. So let's finalize our time together with this. The context of what we've been studying in John, the context for this is the disciples are in a really, really bad place. My dad had this saying when I was a kid. He didn't make it up, but he would say this often. He said, "It's hard to drain the swamp when you're up to your hips in alligators." Not a political statement. This is not political. This was back when I was a kid. So this is before the drain the swamp took on a whole new meaning. But what he was saying was, it's hard to have a future when your present is so difficult. It's hard to think about, what are we going to do here when today I'm up to my hips in alligators? And the disciples are up to their hips in alligators. And here's why. They had just, a few days before, walked into Jerusalem while Jesus is riding on a donkey. People are throwing their coats and palm leaves in front of him, and they're walking in this parade as people are shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, blessed is the King of Israel," which I believe was a song that would be sung when a king would return back from battle, and it's a victory chant, like, "Our king is coming." So the disciples are walking alongside Jesus, and thousands of people are shouting, "Here comes the king. It is a good day." That's John 12. Starting in John 13, though, as Jesus pulls them aside privately, he's telling them, it's not going to work out this way, guys. What you expected and what you hoped is not going to happen. And he says this to him in John 13. He says, "I'm leaving you. I'm going away and you can't follow me." In John chapter 14, he tells them, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." And we'll get to this moment. Where I'm going, there is a place for you, but not right now. In John 15, he tells them, "The world's going to hate you. They hated me, they're going to hate you." And listen to this. In John chapter 16, he says, "They're going to kick you out of the synagogue," which was the social and religious focal point of every Jewish person. And listen, now put yourself in their heart, in their position. "And they think they're going to be doing God a service when they kill you." So they went from, we're going to be into this kingdom, to now Jesus is saying, "Nope, I'm out. I got to leave. I'm going to another place. I'll prepare for you. People are going to hate you like they hated me, and they're also going to kick you out of the synagogue, and they're going to kill you." And what Jesus is doing is, during these, from 13 to 17, he's having to navigate present crisis, they're up to their hips in alligators, with a future hope. He does it brilliantly. You can see how the disciples are not listening to Jesus' future hope. Because in John 13, Jesus says, "A new command I give you, as I've loved you, love each other. By this all men will know my disciples." Have you ever heard that before? Maybe a couple hundred times in our church, right? And Peter's question to Jesus' command is this: "Where are you going? Why can't I leave? Why are you leaving? Why can't I come with you? I'll die for you." You find in John chapter 14 where Jesus says, you know the way to where I'm going. And James says, "How can we know the way? We don't even know where you're going. How can we know the way? Where are you going?" In John chapter 15 as well, Judas, who's not Iscariot, as Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, "I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He's going to be with you, and he's going to be in you, and you won't be orphaned." And Judas asks this question. He says, "Well, why are you showing yourself to us and not to the world? Why us and not to everyone?" It's a political statement. You should be out there showing yourself to the world. And in John chapter 16, when Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit's future guidance in their lives, their question over and over again is this: what does he mean he's leaving? And what I've discovered, dear ones, and maybe you couldn't understand it as well, when life throws you a curveball, or maybe it throws you a big old problem that you weren't expecting, the typical response is we start thinking about, what does this mean for me? And we stop listening to the context of what's being said. When change happens, I've had this so many times in my life. Someone's telling me something, and though I register that they're talking, I stop listening because I start asking questions. Well, what does this mean? What is this going to look like? What is this? And we stop listening, and we start asking, and this is where the disciples are. So how does Jesus navigate this with them, he does it brilliantly by telling them the truth over and over and over and over again. He constantly reinforces something over and over again, and he's got four main focal points that he's emphasizing. One is love. So they are thinking, we just lost the kingdom. We just lost our authority. Jesus is leaving. We're confused. And so what does Jesus say over and over again? As the Father has loved me, I loved you. I'm loving you. Now love each other. Love. It's all about loving each other. My command, love, love, loving each other. He also emphasizes this. He emphasizes, remain in me. It's a relationship. Stay with me. I know life is hard. I know it's going to be difficult, but remain in me. Let the words I have been talking to you about for 3.5 years, let them be reminded. Stay there in relationship. The third thing he does is the work of the person of the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is going to be in you. He'll be with you. He'll be like, if I was here physically, he'll be here working in you. And the fourth thing he teaches them often is prayer. So he's emphasizing these four things, prayer. And up to this time, it doesn't seem like the disciples were prayers in the classical sense. They asked Jesus one time to teach them how to pray, but you don't see this recording of the disciples getting alone to be with the Father. Why? Because they were with Jesus. So they're talking to Jesus. But now here's the problem. Jesus is going away. They're not going to have this one-on-one with Jesus anymore. So what does Jesus do? He's teaching them, the relationship I have with my Father, you can have that exact same relationship. You need to be confident that as I've connected with my Father, you can connect with my Father as well. Why? Because I'm going away. We're not going to have this anymore. You'll have Holy Spirit. You'll have my words. But you also have to have confidence in my Father. He does a good job. Now, he started the dialogue. If you go back, if you have your Bibles or your tablets or your phone, go back to John chapter 14. So if you get a chance to listen to it, you're getting like the whole kit and caboodle in one setting. And we'll finish with John chapter 16. Now, listen to the subtle change that Jesus makes in his words. Listen to what he says. Now, listen to his progressing his disciples. He's weaning his disciples. He's transitioning his disciples away from their relationship to a relationship with his Father. So in John chapter 14, he says, verse 12, amen, amen. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me, confidence, trust, belief in me, will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. So he's told them he's leaving. Verse 13, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Okay. Now look at the transition that he starts now in John chapter 15 though. Verse 7, he says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now look again. He transitions even again in verse number 16. He says this, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. He started with, you can be ask me anything and I will do it. What is he doing? What is he doing? Guys, how we've been doing this, now you and the Father are going to be doing this because I'm going away. The same confidence you have with me, you can have with my pops. You guys okay? It's huge because it's dealing with identity. And then John 16, we'll read there. We'll come back to it because we'll finish up this process. Verse 23 of chapter 16. And we'll put context to this in just a moment. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. There's that amen, amen. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. Jesus is navigating where they're up to their hips in alligators. Their hopes and dreams are being dashed. He's navigating right now. It's hard, but I'm telling you of a future truth. Amen. Amen. That this is what you're going to be able to do because you have confidence of relationship. First of all, I'm transferring it from me. And as you see me, now you see the Father. As you love me, you can love the Father. As we've talked, you can talk to my Father. So what is it? What is it we're to do? First of all, we are to believe. Secondly, remain. This is how we stay in faith. If you remain in me, if we abide, stay in position, stay in that relationship, and my words remain in you. That's how we stay in faith. The third thing is that, remember, it's not me in Jesus, it's us in Jesus. It's not I got a good thing, it's we have a good thing. The scripture should be read in a Southern drawl. Remember what it is? It's y'all. I didn't choose y'all, or you didn't choose me, I chose y'all. That we have to understand that the kingdom of God, how it works, it's not just me and Jesus, it's we and Jesus. And so go with me again, if you will, to Matthew chapter 18, and then we'll finish up in John chapter 16. Let's just review for just a moment, Matthew 18. Let's hear it one more time. Verse 19, bless you, dear friend. Verse 19, NIV doesn't capture it right. No translation does. That's why you have to study a little bit more. Again, I tell you, it's actually, I tell you the truth. It's that word, amen, amen. I'm telling you the truth here. I'm telling you the truth. That if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. We're two. We're two. This is the ecclesia. The church is built where two people gather. In Jesus' name. Like I said, we have not gathered in the name of Valley Christian Center. We have not gathered in the name of the Assemblies of God. We haven't gathered in any other thing but the name of Jesus. That's why we have gathered. Where two come together, or even three come together, Jesus said, here's my promise, I will be with you. So that means if you go to dinner with another Christian and you say, let's pray, Father, we bless you and we thank you for this food, you are gathering in his name. That's where the church is located. The word agree means to be together with. And if you remember last week, I can go to a Seahawks football game, and though I am together with thousands of fans, I'm a 49er fan. I'm not with them. I'm a 49er fan. I'm together, but I'm not with you because I am rooting for another team. So this idea is that not only do we gather in a room somewhere, or we gather together at a dinner, or we gather in a small group, it's that we're not just together in a place, but we are with each other. How do we do that? If we love each other as he loved us, we stay together with. The word also is where we get the word symphony, where we lift our voices together. We make a sound together, that we are in harmony. We're in like-mindedness. We are in the same voice. This is not where we robotically just repeat the same thing. It's mean because we are in love with each other and we're abiding in the word of God, that we are together saying the same thing of what our Father says about situations, and we are in agreement. It only takes two. And Jesus said, I promise you this, I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask. It's the exact same word found in John 15:7, where if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish. It's the same thought, dear ones, that you and I have the authority, the power, the confidence that when we come into agreement, harmony, together with, same voice, voicing the same thing, that God says, I will do it. You guys need to like stand and shake a little bit? Or did you get an hour overdose of sleep? I mean, it's like, this is actually pretty good news, and I haven't seen a smile yet. Maybe I'll smile. He will do it. This is why we sing when we lift our voice, how great thou art. What are we doing? We're lifting our voice together. And remember how last week, one side sang Amazing Grace and one side sang How Great Thou Art? Both fantastic truths from God, but we were not in agreement. A promise we have in prayer, confidence we have, it doesn't take 100 people, it just takes two. And where three gather, two or three, Jesus said, right now, Sunday morning at 10:40, 11:40, what time? Oh, we set the clock back. No, that's right. I thought, dear Jesus, I got another hour and a half. And you all said, dear Jesus, I have another hour and a half. Oh, dear God, please come quickly, Lord Jesus. The power and the authority that we have, as Jesus said, right now, he's with us. Right now. Whether you feel him, sense him, doesn't matter. He says, I tell you the truth. He's with us right now. Right now. But when you go to lunch, he's with you. So it's not just my devotionals. I got the Holy Spirit, me and the Father. That's why this is so important, where we continue to learn how to gather together with. It's because Jesus said, there's authority released. My Father will do whatever you ask. He will do it. We beg the question then, how come people are still getting sick, right? We got to look honestly at that. We can't just wink and go, well, Jesus said it, but here's the reality of it. This is like the disciples. They're up to their hips in alligators. Maybe you're up to your hips in debt. Maybe you're up to your hips in loneliness. Maybe you're up to your hips in sickness. Maybe your hips are looks a little bit different, but you still got alligators rising up. What do we do with that? Jesus already showed us. If you struggle with, I'm not seeing this happen, then go back to what he taught. Do I really believe he can? And a legal prayer, Mark chapter 9, I do believe. Help me overcome unbelief. I can't tell you how many times I have prayed that in the last 2 to 3 years, where I really do believe, but these nagging doubts go, but come on, Mike, really seriously? Are you? And these doubts start to outweigh the confidence in who, what he said. So I go back, and that is a prayer I have put in my arsenal. Lord Jesus, I do believe. You need to help me overcome my unbelief. I actually had this week where I was dealing with a situation and that my confidence, I knew, and then it started to wane. So what did I do? I called my brother Brian and I said, Brian, I need you to pray with me. I'm confessing. I'm having difficulty believing about something. I need you to pray for me right now. My brother, in the name of Jesus, Lord, confident, he started praying over me. Why? Because if you confess your sin, your fault, you will be healed. And that's not just physical. I don't want to live in unbelief. So confess it. I'm having trouble believing. Help me. Secondly, how are you doing honestly with remaining in relationship with Jesus? There are times we're busy, right? But when unbelief begins to rise up, you need to start casting off things and putting your time, focus your time. There are times where we got stuff going on and we're okay. But when you're going through up to your hips and alligators, when you're going through times when life is difficult, it's time to start shucking things away and start making a focus. God, I need to spend time with you. I got to remain in you right now because I don't want to step out of faith because of what I'm going through. So if I have to now focus some time where I'm not going to watch as much television, or I'm going to put away some food so I can fast, where I'm starting to put away some stuff that would normally occupy time so that I can focus, I need to stay focused in my relationship with him. Why? So that I stay in faith, so that we stay in faith. Third, how are your relationships? Do you have a we, or are we just together? Who is that person that if you are in trouble, you know at any time of the night, you can call them and say, I need you right now, and they know you'll be there. Who is it that you have in your life? You know, it's like that person, everyone's your friend till you move. That's one reason I don't buy a truck. Who is that person that you know you can call? Who is that person you know that they'll come into agreement with you? Who is that person? See, it's not just do I go to Valley Christian Center or Hope Chapel. That's not the issue. The issue is who am I with? Who will stand with me? And if you say, Mike, I don't have a lot of people, that's where you need to start. You and I need to start working on loving each other more. That's where we might need to make a phone call. Hey, can we have lunch together? Hey, let's get together. Can we study the word together? Hey, and we start creating relationships so that we are not just together, but we are with. Because isolation is a killer. And here's the fourth thing. Do you know your identity in Christ? And this is John chapter 16. Are you confident in your identity that whatever you say, the Father's, are you able to say, when I'm done praying, I know it's done because I have faith. I am staying in the word. I am staying in relationship. I have got friends that are with me on this. I know it's done. And I'm just waiting now to see it happen. So let's finish John 16 and this will be done. Y'all okay today? You guys are amazing. It's not how we feel, it's what he says. If I did everything I felt, I'd be in jail right now. It's not what I feel, it's what he says. It's not what I see, it's what he says. Let's read it one more time. Let's start at verse 17. We got a couple minutes. Some of his disciples said to one another, look at their questions. Your questions reveal what you focus on. Your questions, man, I didn't see this coming. God, do you love me? God, are you there? God, do you really care? Okay, it's okay to let your heart out, but the question reveals what you really believe. It reveals what you're focusing on. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I feel like I'm alone. Okay, that's what the disciples, you're up to your hips. Jesus is dealing with that. And he says, some of the disciples said to one another, what does he mean by saying, in a little while, you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you'll see me. And because I'm going to the Father, they kept asking, what does he mean? They're working themselves up. What does he mean in a little while? We don't understand. What is he saying? Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, are you asking one another what I meant when I said in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? See how he's navigating the current for them, and he moves them into the future? I tell you the truth. Here's that word, amen. I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. What he's talking about, in just the next few hours, he's going to be crucified. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that the child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away. Verse 23, in that day is the day, the day he rises from the dead. In that day, things change. In that day, the redemptive plan of the Father that he started in Genesis chapter 3 has now come to fruition. In that day, when they see Jesus no longer hanging on a cross, but raised from the dead in glory, in that day, and we live in that day right now. Yeah. That's our day right now. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. Amen. Amen. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Do you believe that? Do you believe that, Jesus, my Father? Why? We're in that day. Until now, you have not asked me for anything in my name. Ask and you'll receive and your joy will be complete. Now, Jesus gives two ideas of joy. It's found in John 15. Go back with me, if you will. John 15. He says in verse 10, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've obeyed my Father's commands, remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So joy comes from us staying in love relationship with Jesus. Joy, I would be so happy if I won the $1.6 billion lottery. One guy won that. God bless him. Daddy's are in a couple years, he's going to be broke. It's a lot of money to deal with. But I wouldn't mind trying if the Lord would have that for me. So if you remain in his command, what is this command to love each other? He says, then your joy will become mature and whole and complete. The other part of joy is this. Ask and you receive and your joy will be made complete. That part of joy is that we are actually seeing answered prayers. It is so ordained by Jesus and is so committed to this that prayer is not like, oh man, I hope it works out. But we have confidence because we are following the Father's ways that we know what we have, that we have what we ask of him. Is that how we pray? No guilt, no condemnation. We all need to grow. Is that how we pray where we come together and we say, man, I know it's done. My pop said it. You guys okay? Verse 26, in that day, you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. Now we don't need someone else to pray. Now it's great that we agree and pray for each other. But we don't have to say, I need someone to talk to the Father for me. Why? Because he's my dad. He's my dad. Dear ones, I've said this a number of times. Let's hear it one more time. When I talk to Jesus and that, or when I talk to the Father, that might be a breath prayer where I just go, Father, I bless you today. I need you today. Or if I get and I have a cutout some time and I've got an hour to 2 hours, it doesn't matter. When I got to look at it this way. When I'm talking to my Father, whether it be just a moment, whether it be in hours, it doesn't matter. That I am now coming in, I am already in his presence. He's already with me, and I'm just acknowledging that what he's hearing from me is, and the way he sees me is exactly how he sees his son Jesus. That the same access to the Father as Jesus had, you and I now have. We don't have to go, oh man, God, I'm sorry about last week when I just said that bad word, when that person cut in front of me. Oh, please don't reject me. Please, please don't. And God's gone, stop it. I've already forgiven you for that. I was listening to someone pray the other day. It's interesting. You know a person's heart by how they pray. And I was together with some people and this person was praying this way. And I don't have nothing of animosity. I didn't feel like there was nothing negative. I just, one person was praying, oh God, our country needs judgment. Please God, judge us. And sin judgment. And I went, I can't be with you on that one. I'm together, but I can't be with you on that. And another person was praying this way. Please, God, if you would. Please, would you hear me? Please, would you answer? Please, would you help us? Please. And I go, I can't be with you on that. Why? You're my brother, so it's not the issue. I don't have to beg my dad to listen to me. He already said, come boldly. So I don't say, please, I say, God, and it's not arrogant. It's like, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, it's your son, Mike, again. Here I am. I just talking to you, pops. I need your help. I need you. So listen to how you even pray. Oh, God, if it be your will. He already showed us his will. We don't have to ask. He's already showed us. The invitation is for all, everyone, not just the super religious people who stand with a microphone on their face. You can ask my wife. I am one of the least super religious people you'll ever want to know. It's not like I've got this, Pastor, I need you to pray because you have that access to God. Like I do. So do you. So do you. Well, let's go get so-and-so to pray because they have, well, yeah, we want to honor that, but so do you. So we're going to do that today. We're going to come into agreement. We're going to join together, and we're not going to just be together. We're going to be with. We're going to pray together. We're not just going to learn. We're going to actually apply. Last thing I want to share with you is this. Father, I don't think I've read this anywhere. I might have, but I was reading the word one day and some things were coming alive that I had read before. And I heard this impression in my heart. Never put a comma when you learn, never put a period when you learn something, put a comma. Because I don't got it, I'm getting it. I'm still learning. So put a comma there. If you're learning something from God, there's more to learn. So let's come into agreement on something. Pastor Jeff and I met with OUI this week. This has been a journey, right, with OUI, and there's been one delay after the other, right? So just to kind of catch you up to speed, our latest delay was this, that the fire department said we were missing some components for safety for OUI to be here. So this last week, we had an electrician come in, and now our fire alarm systems work like the best they've ever worked. Yay, I heard them going off. It was awesome, okay? So that was the last hurdle. And so we're going, Pastor Jeff and I, we're marching to Zion. We're moving forward. Yay. So we meet with Hannah and Allison. And Hannah, she said, well, hey. And without getting to a lot of the details, they some finances that help support OUI has gone right now. They had three different systems to support them. And it's quite a bit of money. Plus, there's some other. And so, bottom line, they said, we don't think we can move right yet because we don't know if we've got the money and we don't want to do that to you guys. So, Pastor Jeff and I said, well, has this ever happened before? Have you ever had where three major donors just all at the same time or three major sources of finance just stopped? And they said, never. We've never seen this before. And it's like, So Hannah said, we understand that if you need to move on to find some other place, other people, we are okay with that. And we said, absolutely not. We believe God wants you here. How can we pray for you? Because dear ones, it's more than just people coming in. It's us being able to minister, right, to people. So we are starting to see, we are experiencing such resistance to the purposes and plans of God. We're on the right track, okay? Haven't really shared too much with you. We're having some issues with the city right now, and we're blessing our city leaders with the sale of the back property. We really believe that's what God's purposes are, and there's just some resistance going on. I want to thank Shelly Montoya. She's been helping us through that, but there's resistance. But it's like, wait a sec here, Father. We know what you've called us to do, and we're having resistance. So what we need to do now is we need the church to come together, and we need to agree. We need to be with each other on this. And we need to then, we're abiding in Christ. We're together in Jesus' name that the Father's not going to see breakthrough for us, but also for our city because God wants to bless our city. And there seems to be hurdles to bless our city. Seems to be constantly things where businesses are having trouble. Well, we believe God is calling us to be that punch through, not to punch our city, that breakthrough of mindsets and mentalities to say God wants to prosper our valley. But he can't with these kind of regulations on there. So we always bless our government, always bless them. It's always that. But I'm asking you guys, we're going to close this series today with, would you agree with? And we lift our voices together because the word agreement means to a symphony, to lift your voice. It's not silence. It's like the symphony plays, the crescendo, the voices are lifted. So Lord, the sources of income that needs to be replaced for OUI, Lord, we come together with because we believe that you have called them to be here that we might be an influence of grace and love to many people. So, Lord, we pay attention to these. This has never happened before. We understand that there's something greater going on because we don't fight against flesh and blood. So we stand against that spirit that would try to dry up sources of income that would keep OUI from the ability to expand and touch more lives. So we come in agreement, Lord, with that. We come together for your plans. And Lord, we're expecting and saying yes to the answer because you said, my Father will do it. We're to agree. My Father will do it. So we say yes to your word. We remove all doubt, unbelief that would try to, well, what if we don't get a phone call? What if it doesn't happen? We don't focus on that. We focus on what Jesus said. We stay in faith. Lord, let's move now. Let's fix into our mind, Lord, family. Let's put that fixture in our mind, the sale of that back property and the moving forward on that. Let's put that in the fixture. Lord, Your glory came upon our board when we said yes to this. You affirmed that this was your purpose and plan. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, we bless our city officials. We bless every commissioner. We bless every department. Lord, we bless them because your word tells us we are to bless them because you love them deeply. And so we pray for them as if they were our own children. We want to see them, Lord, prosper. But Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that the reputation of our city changes from a place that's difficult for growth to a place that welcomes growth. So Lord, we are now standing on behalf of our city and our valley, that Lord, we come into agreement that this is going to be the beginning of the floodgates to see what you have promised over this valley, that this is going to be a valley where you prosper and bless. So we, as your children, we agree together. We agree. We lift our voices as a symphony of harmony. We agree. Yeah. Would you say those words with me? We agree. Oh, wow. Do you feel that? We agree in Jesus' name for your purposes and plans to be done. And you said, I tell you the truth, my Father will do this in Jesus' name. Now let's do one more thing. If you need something in your life, let's come into agreement. Find one or two people, it could be more, and just say, this is what I'm believing for. Would you be with me on this? Would you agree with me? Whether that be a healing, a financial situation, it doesn't matter what it is, direction, would you just agree with me on this? So would you find some two or three real quick and just come into that place of agreement with them? Here's what I'm asking the Father for. And you can say, I agree, because it aligns with your word. It could be healing, it could be whatever. Does this make sense? Is this making sense? Okay.